Buckelbarger.
Hello, world. Coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're still alive after a month of not doing a podcast. Join me in the co-pilot seat, Trevor Hollis. Trevor, how are you doing this evening?
Doing excellent. Great to be back. Good to be back on the air. And yeah, your life is twice as busy as mine, which to me is insane because my life is busy as heck right now too.
Yeah, the job that actually pays the mortgage. There's this big misconception in sprint car racing that this pays the mortgage for. No, this is not my full-time job. This is my hobby. How scary is that? And I do have a real job that involves computers for a very large corporation. And when your boss quits, things roll downhill, and I got rolled over, to say the least. So it's been a kind of a crazy, I have to thank my dad, Bob, who's been affectionately known as Mud Cloud Bob. He's kind of been running the show for about a month, for the better part. I've been kind of handling the weekends a little bit, but he's kind of come out of, you know, out of dormant, out of ice fishing, to basically just, you know, start like keeping the boat afloat. So I really need to thank him for that, because if it wasn't for that, I'd be drowning right now, Trevor. So it's always good to have good help. It's especially good to have good retired help. So
what you say about ice fishing right now with the weather that we've had the last couple of days, because we're not too far off from having ice lakes again.
Yeah, this is crazy. You know, imagine that. We don't have that much racing around here. It's 80 degrees for 2 weeks, you know, summer-like weather. Tracks really start to ramp up, and we're back into the 40s and rainy.
Yeah.
Almost the crazy thing last weekend, the rainouts from coast to coast. I mean, literally, you know, Pennsylvania and New York, they're about the only places that got races in consistently, and a little bit in California. Otherwise, everything else was pretty much a wash.
The best thing I saw was somebody had posted on Twitter a video of like a monsoon coming down, and it said a live look in from every racetrack in the Midwest.
That is the honest to goodness truth. So let's catch up a little bit on what's kind of transpired since we last did this a month ago. You ventured out to Kokomo Speedway. That was our subject of our last podcast, and I joked that it was going to ruin you for the rest of the year,
and it did.
I take it it met expectations.
Oh, it exceeded expectations. You know, I announced local track up here in Michigan, and I love it. It's my home track. I will never say a bad word about it. But you go down there, and it's just a different atmosphere, man. That track is, we were talking off the air before we started recording about how I thought it was amazing that you pull into the facility there, and it's right in the middle of a giant industrial park, which I understand the track has been there longer than the industrial park has, but just the way everything grew up around it, I didn't see a house until for a long ways, but it's right there next to a couple, right between two big grain elevators, and that was surprising to me. The racing, oh my God, TJ, the racing was incredible. We also talked off the air about how it was rather dusty. I could have cared less. The racing was that good.
On
Sunday, it was incredible.
Saturday didn't look too bad. Sunday was a little dirty, but I mean, there is a hammer down.
Yes.
Throw the sliders, got a deal, and it's one of those places where you almost have to watch it out of your peripheral vision because there's something going on everywhere at that place.
Yeah, and it wasn't hard to do that. It wasn't hard to watch out of your peripheral. You caught everything. You were watching Dave Darlan come through the field from the rear of the field at the same time Justin Grant is up there trying to sweep the weekend, or Brady Bacon is trying to sweep the midget features. It just, racing was everywhere, and it was awesome. It was incredible.
You know, I think one of the reasons we, you know, it differs from the racing here a little bit is we don't have a lot of racetracks with walls around them. And I know it's a good point.
True.
To it. You can slide off the end and it goes off, but we don't build up those big curbs like the tracks do that carry those fences like that, or the higher banking that'll hold the curbs. And I think that does make a little bit of a difference there, because you have so much to lean on. You can just, I mean, you can drive it in the corner so hard at those places and just pile it up right in the fence. And even though that works, though, there's always someone that can master that bottom to start pedaling, man, start moving.
We were walking the track after the races on Saturday night, my dad and I were, and we were sitting right towards the entrance to turn number 4. We were down towards the second to last sectional bleachers, and watching the cars, they didn't turn until they were about 12 to 18 inches away from that turn four wall. So my dad and I walked down on the track after the races just to check it out. I wanted to see what the, you know, it's hard to get a feel for the banking when you're up there, but I'm walking around. We're following this father and son. Son's maybe 5, 6 years old, and I hear the son go, "What is this, Dad?" And this dad goes, "That there, son, that's a cushion."
Yes, yes.
We don't see those in Ohio.
Yeah, well, in Ohio, you do a little bit. I mean, you don't see them like you do there. I mean, those are like flat-out curbs, and they're almost like a wall. I mean, it does add a different aspect to the racing. But it was a great trip for you to Kokomo. I'm glad you got to experience that, man, because that's still one of my favorite places. Maybe one of these days it won't rain when I have to go there, or work won't keep me. I've had some crazy circumstances. It's been a couple of years since I've been there, because I swear something crazy happens, like your boss quits or something, every time I try to go to Kokomo. So that's been some more recent news, something kind of neat that came out the past couple of days. Good friend of the website, Jerry Niemeyer, who has been fighting cancer for the past 15 years or so, has not been doing as well lately, and I want to take a shout out first of all to JD and Kenny and his kids and Jerry himself. Great. I mean, Trevor, you could not meet a nicer man, period, than Jerry Niemeyer. He's one of the, when I think about the five nicest people I'm not even related to, I think of someone's gonna have to try really hard to knock Jerry Niemeyer off that top five list. And all of a sudden, one of his prized possessions is a Silver Crown car that AJ Foyt ran, and this thing is the quintessential caged Silver Crown car you could find. I mean, it's got the round nose, and it was actually Jerry bought it to drive and raced it with the original interior that AJ used and everything in it. Well, Jerry's very meticulous, and he restored this thing, and it's just beautiful. And Jerry was looking to maybe sell it or pass it on, and Trevor, who shows up to buy it, but
none other than Tony Stewart.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's a neat story. If you go to the ARCA Racing website, and why you might wonder, why is the story on ARCA? Jerry is a former ARCA midget champion, and also he did a lot of fabrication on the ARCA trucks when they were kind of starting out. He did a lot of fab work on those and a lot of work. He's a great fabricator, by the way. And Tony, they came to an agreement for Tony to buy the car. And Trevor, I can't think of a better person to own this piece of history than Mr. Stewart.
Nope, I can't either. And you know he's going to appreciate it. He's going to cherish the history of the car. And he's multiple time. I mean, he was number 14 in the Cup Series for a reason. And that reason is his idol, AJ Foyt. And what a way to enter into your retirement years while still racing, what, 3 or 4 nights a week for Tony Stewart, yeah, but buy a piece of history.
He's making retirement look pretty good to me.
He is.
He's also going to drive one of Foyt's roadsters at the Speedway during the month of May, too, and that'll be pretty neat to see. And retirement's looking pretty good, but just a class act. Just he had planned on staying for like 20 minutes. If you go read the story, he stayed for about 5 hours bench racing with those guys. And those the Meemeyer family, you can't meet a better bunch of racers. And Jerry, we're thinking about you and the family. If you're listening, you guys are our thoughts and prayers, and we're pulling for you, man. We just think the world of you, and just want to let you know that. So moving on, since we did a podcast, Trevor, Donnie Schatz hasn't won a World of Outlaw race. I bet there's probably about 11 race teams that are probably saying, don't do any more of them.
Yeah, you could say he's in a mini slump.
Slump in air quotes. Let's be realistic here.
No, I had the air quotes going. Trust me. Yeah. Good thing this isn't a video cast.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Donnie Schatz still holds a lead. We were talking before we started recording here about the points. Donnie Schatz still the points leader with the World of Outlaw Series. 36 points back, David Gravel, who's had a heck of a couple of weeks. He's only one shy of Schatz wins this year. He's got 5 wins on the season. He's 36 points back. Brad Sweet sits third. He's 68 points back with a pair of wins. And then it's 200 points separates fourth from first. That's a jump from 68 to 200 points where Jason Johnson is there, and he's got 2 wins. The big difference where Jason Johnson between the top three is top 5 finishes. Those top three have 12 top 5 finishes, which there's only been 15 races, I think. And 12 of them, they've been in the top five. So consistency definitely playing a huge part in at least keeping it close, because he's not winning every single race he enters right now, but you got to count Donnie Schatz as the favorite every time he puts that 15 car on the track.
Yeah, we have a trio right now, and the other two in the trio are going real well right now. It's going to get real interesting, I think. I'm kind of curious to see, you know, I expect it to stay tight through the month of May. It's when we hit June and July, and we have to go to Pennsylvania and all these places. That's where I want to see what's going to happen. You know, once we get through one trip through PA, get on the road a little bit, start getting some of these midweek races cranked up, you know, and tracks start slicking off. That's when I want to see how these other two are going to fare. We've seen the KKR teams do well in the past early in the year and then drop off a little bit. Gravel's been a guy we've been kind of saying all along that's has potential to be that number two, that number or that rival. And right now he seems to be living up to the bill. They have the resources to do it. Now with being focused on one car, it'll be interesting to see how they finish things out as well.
We talked a couple of episodes also about the Rookie of the Year race, and Sheldon Haudenschild right now sits seventh in points. He's actually leading that Rookie of the Year race. He's had a great season. He's been, it seems to me, not driving over his head, getting seat time, getting comfortable, nearly had a win just a couple of weeks ago. He's had five top fives this season. The other guy that we talked about, Brett Marks, he sits 12th in points. So that young group of World of Outlaw drivers, the future looks really good for the World of Outlaws, and that's exciting to see.
It is interesting to see. A lot of guys are looking at that as like, hey, we can go out on the road if we do this right, and we're going to do it. And I think, you know, depending on Marks and some of these guys do, I think it's going to inspire more guys to do it too. I mean, they're going to look at the tow money packages and do the math and think about racing around home, or we can go on the road and do this, you know, and keep going. For a team like Sheldon, it's important to go good early. And I think to gain some sponsor support, get some funding, you know, to even make the team deeper. And I think that's huge. You have to do something like that when you're a new team. And they've definitely made a splash there. Silver Crown, USAC Silver Crown Series, returned to Phoenix International Raceway. And, you know, some people, there's some chatter about the car count being down for the dirt races, but it actually ended up being a pretty good race. Bobby Santos III picking up a win. And Trevor, if you're holding off Cody Swanson at a blacktop race, especially a Silver Crown race, to win, you're doing something right.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't think the car count was that bad. I thought it was a pretty decent car count, considering that's the first time they've been to that track since the reconfiguration. Silver Crown pavement racing for the last few years really has been it's been very hit or miss. But what did they have? 24 of them?
No, it was like 18, 16, 16, 18. But you know what?
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of what... That's more than I expected, honestly.
Yeah.
I think some people with the dirt races had a little more expectation of more people chasing it. And, you know, I think it was way better than I thought it was going to be. And I hope we keep seeing growth in that, because I think there's a market for people that want to race at a very high level but only want to run 10 to 12 shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you extend that series much past about 14, 16 races at the most, even that's a stretch, I think. I think you'd be stretching people's budgets. I think there's a place in the racing world for a series like that. It's so unique to just do like 8, 10, 12 races. And you can do it at a high level and do that and not, you know, and run a whole series. I think there is a place for that, and I think it's filling a niche, and it always will. So keeping up the pavement theme a little bit, Little 500 entry list keeps getting a little more interesting. Kenny Schrader threw his hat into the ring this past week, Trevor. Rookie. the term rookie is very loosely used, but in this case it works, because if you haven't run this race before, I think you truly are a rookie, because it's such a unique thing. But it's odd, Trevor, calling Tony Stewart and Kenny Schrader rookie candidates.
Well, you're going to see it. I'm actually considering purchasing this pay-per-view. I think Speed Shift is going to handle it, and I'm considering watching, because I've never seen the Little 500. To be honest, I've never even really watched YouTube videos or anything of it, so I don't know what to expect. But there's a certain level of mystique around this year. It's kind of a a feeling of what is going on here that these guys are going to give this a shot. I mean, Tony Stewart obviously driving the Hoffman car. It's not like he's hopping into a low budget ride.
Schrader's car is good too. He's driving for Brad Armstrong. I mean, they go good around Anderson. Armstrong's a veteran guy, and they'll go good there. You know, Trevor, this is kind of interesting because you're definitely kind of the audience we're seeing drawn to this little. You said you've never really had a reason to look for it before, or never really, you know.
Right.
Where I'm the guy, I'm a little 500 guy. Like, you know, that's one of the, there are three races that are definitively on my schedule no matter what happens. And and everything else is planned around them. The Kings Royal, the Knoxville Nationals, and the Little 500. And it's just such a unique thing, and it's a race that other people have tried to copy. It hasn't worked at other places. There's nothing else like it, and that's the draw a little bit. There's nothing else like it on the planet. And when you see sprint cars running full speed, doing live pit stops with push trucks that push out on the racetrack during green flag conditions, it gets a little crazy. And it's much more organized than it looks, and we've beaten this to death. You can go look at the podcast archive and hear about all this, but if you haven't gotten your tickets, you need to get them pretty quick. They're selling out pretty quick. Go to AndersonSpeedway.com. They will hook you up, and we're going to be there again this year for the race, and look forward to it, Trevor, because, I mean, it's, you know, at some point, I know Crystal runs that night. At some point, we're going to have to get you playing hooky, and we'll have to have you go. It's got to be a sprint.
Oh, I would.
It's a sprint car bucket. It is a bucket list race for everything about that. So back to the local side of things. Sod opener at Crystal got rained out last week, which was kind of a bummer. You know, I mean, like we had talked about earlier, all the great weather that we had kind of coming up, and it would have been, it would have been nice to get that in. It's just, we were talking earlier, 80 degrees weeks leading in. I think we had good weather for your Crystal opener, didn't you?
Oh, we had phenomenal weather. I mean, mid to upper 70s all night long. I mean, there wasn't a hoodie or anything needed all night.
Yeah, and then next week it just rains. So
yep.
So that sets up, though, the benefit of this is now we've set up with Great Lakes Super Sprints Friday at I-96, Saturday night, Sod at Crystal. I-96 Crystal weekends, I kind of grew up on those. You know, it was, you know, go see sprint cars there Friday, Saturday. One of the local stops we would make when we were traveling is we would make those two because geographically they make sense, almost too much sense. You don't want them on the same weekend almost if you're promoters. But I think a lot of fans and teams will follow the whole weekend, to be honest, even though it's two different series, two different rule packages. But there's potential to have a really neat sprint car weekend up here.
I agree. And with the no limit sprints on dirt, with the way that they want to promote it, it is a great opportunity for the drivers on Friday night. You know, assuming you have a good weekend, you don't mess up equipment or anything like that, you might have to buy a right rear tire, but
and a left rear.
You can and a left rear, right? Yeah. But yeah. You could go up to Crystal. It's 45 minutes from I-96 and make it a weekend. Make it a little bit more. There's more of a financial incentive to race both nights, which you could say that a lot of weekends in the state of Michigan, but it's a lot different when you're driving from Hartford to Crystal.
Yeah, definitely. And
from Lima to Crystal.
The other aspect of this is compared to a year ago when we had the first race scheduled at Crystal, there's actually used inventory now. I mean, people have used tires, and that might not sound like a big deal if you're listening out here, but that was the scariest thing to me about it last year is you've got a lot of teams that, you know, probably live on used tires, you know,
right.
and there were none. I mean, you had to start out with a brand new tire at that first race. That's a scary, you know, that's a scary part of the deep end to jump off of when you would do a tire change, especially this one. And now that there's some used inventory buildup, I want to see what shows up on Saturday night. You know, someone who maybe wants to try it, doesn't want to invest in a new set of tires, now they have the option of maybe getting a set from a team. And
yeah.
I think it's going to open up some stuff. So that'll be interesting. And now, Saturday, Trevor, I have no idea what to expect. Brian Smith not going to defend his championship. This thing's pretty wide open for sprints on dirt this year.
Absolutely, it is. You talked a little off the air about Ryan Grubaugh. He's going to be back behind the wheel of a sprint car.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about that. I completely overlooked that name just because it's been a number of years since he's been back. He's been behind the wheel. But, yeah, I think he would be one guy to absolutely watch. who knows? Jay Steinbeck has a great night on Saturday night. He could come back and be competitive on, or rather on Friday night, he could come be competitive on Saturday. Yeah. It's wide open. Crystal typically is kind of an equalizer track. It's not hammered down all the way around that track, but it's always fun to watch. I work at that track. I announce at that track. I feel like I have a feeling I will be calling the race for the sprints on dirt on Saturday night, and I don't know what to expect. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's gonna be kind of fun because literally I know cars are coming. I mean, you know, it's just, I wonder who's going to show up I'm not expecting. And that's what, yep, that's kind of the fun of it. We'll have to see. Now, Friday night with GLSS, Trevor, let me field this question to you. Would you take Dustin Daggett, Chase Ridenour, or the field?
Right now, Chase Ridenour.
I don't know.
He's riding an emotional wave right now. Unfortunately, he lost his grandfather. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with the Ridenour family. And I think he wants to come out and he wants to make a statement and race with that emotional chip on his shoulder.
I'm going to take the field. I'm going to be brave about this a little bit. I think someone is ready to take a step up. Who that person is, I have no idea. But with a lot of the rain and some of the wet weather we've had, I kind of expect to see a heavier racetrack out there on Friday night. Someone gets out front, they might be hard to catch. I'm taking the field. We're going to go out on a limb. I say someone else, we see a new winner on Friday night as well. So Friday and Saturday. Also, a little note about that. Friday night's program, if it gets rained out, is informed by Barry Marlowe from the GLSS series that Sunday is a rain date with a 1 hour earlier start time. So, we have our first rain date of the year. Hopefully we don't have to take advantage of it, Trevor. But, yeah, so that is an option for everyone on Sunday.
Well, actually, technically Saturday at Crystal is a rain date from last week. So
yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, true. But, I mean, it's gotcha. In the same weekend. You did get me there. You know, it's gutsy. I give those guys credit for wanting to do it on the same weekend. I would have probably done it more like what Ron's doing. But Crystal, the different weekend. And
yeah.
Also the news, Trevor, that Christopher Bell is going to pick up a couple of Nationwide series races and Trevor,
careful TJ, careful.
Oh yeah,
the pavement people might get mad. It's Xfinity series.
It's the Busch series. Let's be
real. It's the Busch series.
It's the Busch series. So he's got a couple of those races. What are the sponsors this year for? I get it. Xfinity, whatever. Okay, he's in the car for a few shows. I look at the box score, so you'll have to
pardon me.
So, but you know what, though? Watching Bell, he is a guy that is, if I had to pick any of these young stars, when I look at, like, Abreu and even Larson to a degree, and all of them, he has to be, who probably has the best NASCAR potential? I say Bell, and here's why. Smooth. The kid is smooth, and it seems like that trait, the smooth driving style, it fits that style of racing really well. Not only that, but he's also got the personality to put up with the rigors of the off the track stuff, all the promotional stuff. He handles that really well, and he's got the talent to match it. That's like an ideal combination. And you know, I'm glad to see that Toyota is keeping him in the mix, because we saw how Larson was in that mix and then he got away. And we've seen that happen. Casey Kane got away from Ford. Jeff Gordon got away from Ford. I want to see what happens when we take one of these open wheel guys and we send them through a full ladder with a manufacturer to see what happens.
I'm over here shaking my head yes at everything you're saying about Christopher Bell. You know, he's obviously got the resume. He on dirt, he is very, very, very smooth. And like you said, you're watching it with Kyle Larson right now, who I'll look at the box scores. I think he's still your points leader with Winston Cup with the Monster Energy Cup. But I think you're exactly right. He's young, he's driven, and he can drive the wheels off of a car. You know, I would have said the same thing maybe last year about Rico Abreu. And I guess I can't really figure out why he didn't get the shake that I thought he would trucks.
That one mystifies me too. I think he needed more time with that. I do agree. The one thing difference when you compare Bell and Abreu is one thing is Abreu has some of the Larson thing where he can pick up momentum really quick in a car, but Rico will put a car where you should think nobody has any business putting a race car and makes it work.
And like on his roof at Kokomo during qualifying and then winning the heat race.
And coming for the tail. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like when you watch him run, he'll put a car where no one else is going and just plaster it. And that trait lends itself really well to sprint car midget racing. I mean, if you look, I think he's like the Hunchild 3.0. I mean, you have Jack Sheldon, and then there's Rico, and they're very much cut from the same cloth. And I think if he had been given more time in the truck, he would have been fine. He would have been just fine. But for whatever reasons, that didn't happen. And hopefully, he gets another shot again with someone who can give him a bit more time in it. And who knows? He's already won a World of Outlaw race this year. I'm gonna be happy to see him. I'm happy to see him. I know you were happy to see him at Kokomo. I was amazed he flew back for that. That was just amazing to me. And then to dump the car and have the run he had was just tremendous. But
I was at the Coons pits when they were getting ready for his arrival. I was talking to one of the guys working on his car, and that was incredible. The way that organization runs, and it's a clock, TJ. It's a Swiss watch.
It's a machine.
The way that Keith Coons runs that team. I was, as a spectator at my first time at Kokomo, getting to watch the Coons team. It was awe-inspiring.
It's one of those deals where you look at it and it's a logistical ballet. It's pretty awesome the way that.
Yep.
And the amount of cars they field too now, it's just, I mean, they were that way with two or three cars. Now it's like four or five every night, and it's amazing to watch. So it's good to see Chris Bell get that shot. Well, coming up next, we're gonna have one of our local stars who has a big announcement. Towards this weekend, Jay Steinbach's gonna join us. So it'll be interesting to hear what Jay has to say. So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll have Jay on the other side of the break. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Podcast. Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Oshwegan Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast.
Well, this week we're excited to have a little bit of a Great Lakes flavor to the show as we welcome Jay Steinbach, driver of the 10S Sprints on Dirt machine. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, Jay, some exciting news today. Breaking news that you have actually picked up a ride for Friday, so you get a full weekend of racing. Why don't you talk about what your deal is for Friday with the GLS opener and what the outlook is for the future with that deal you put together?
Well, I had actually had some talks with Tracy here a couple weeks ago back in Attica, and he made a comment to me about possibly driving one of his cars, and it's a great opportunity to get back in a 360 for at least this week. Hopefully there's a few more shows involved in it, but we'll see what happens after this Friday night.
And for our fans there, Tracy Rice is going to be the car owner that Jay is driving for. And did he end up calling you? Did you call him to make the final deal? And when did it come together?
He called me last Saturday, actually, and let me know that Crystal was canceled and to call him back on something coming up this weekend. So I had an idea just based on our previous conversations, but he was the one that gave me a call this week.
So now you have that lined up on Friday. So right now, just only for Friday, but what does it mean for you as someone that's been a privateer, fielded his own team since pretty much micro sprints, to be able to pick up a ride?
Oh, it's cool, TJ. It, you know, I can kind of show up to the track and concentrate on driving, and those guys know what they're doing with the car, so it'll be nice to kind of keep my head at the driving level versus everything else.
Jay, what are your expectations of the season, of the weekend with Tracy's car? I know this all happened kind of suddenly. You were probably getting your program lined up and getting ready to run your own car. But with the change and with Tracy Rice stepping on board and bringing you in, how does that change your expectations for the weekend?
Well, you know, it's going to be a little different. It's going to take me a few minutes to get used to that 360 again, whereas I'm used to the lighter 410 that I have. And, you know, I honestly kind of go into a situation like that hoping I can make the show, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't know. So I know there's some good competition with that series, and hopefully I can finish up there a little bit, maybe turn a head or two.
Well, assuming that this weekend is not a full-time gig with Tracy Rice, what do you have lined up for your own car this year?
Well, I've actually got all the sod schedule on my personal schedule, and then we'll see if we can fill in a couple other shows, maybe an MTS or two here or there.
This is the second year for the new sod rules package. I wanted to ask you for a moment, what was your impression of it the first year? Obviously, it must have made a good one because you're planning on running the entire series. Is that based more on the rules package but on the fact that the schedule is much more manageable?
I like both. I think that rules package really equals out everything. You know, we've had some different winners, some 410s, 305, 360s. I like it because it gives us guys with a little bit less motor and whatnot a good opportunity to get up there and run. And you know, those tires are definitely doing it. I think John had a pretty good idea there.
If you're explaining it to another driver, how would you explain the difference in those tires and how they drive as a driver?
You know, TJ, you're losing a good amount of actual tire surface, so you got to be a little more careful. You know, I was on the normal size tires a few weeks ago, and when I went to practice with my car, I put the small ones on just so I had it in my head what the car will take and what it won't. So, but they're definitely doing what John designed them for, and you know, kind of equaling out.
Jay, did you think that when you went into last year with the new rules package? Everybody was, like TJ said, everybody was kind of wondering what it was going to be like. Did it meet your expectations? Was it different than what you expected?
You know, I kind of went into it is with an open mind. You know, I like it. I went into it with an open mind, and it turned out pretty good. You know, the series was pretty level, even, you know, a couple different people, different cars, people won, that kind of thing.
When I had a chance a few years back to travel around with the non-Winx cars with the Michigan Traditional Sprints, you were very heavily involved in that series. Are you planning on doing some of that this year?
Absolutely. I'd like to, you know, I ran Kokomo a couple times. I'd like to get down there once or twice. It's just a good atmosphere, a little good experience. You know, I definitely like to run with Joe and MTS up here. It's a good series to run, and it's, you know, I can run fairly competitive with my equipment that I have.
Jay, we have a lot of graduates right now that are getting ready to take the jump from the 600 micro sprints up to the sprint cars. This is a jump that you made several years ago. I've seen already a couple of faces from the 600s that are going to be making their way into sprint cars this season. If one of them asked you what to expect or what you wish you knew before you made that jump, what would you tell a 600cc micro driver that what you wish you knew jumping to the full-size sprint car?
Boy, what I knew, TJ, was probably to have a good baseline. I think I had said that before, to have a good baseline. You know, when I started, I really didn't know what I was doing in the big car, so it was all kind of learning on the go. But, you know, try and latch on to somebody that knows what they're doing that can give you that setup or two that helps you get down the track and be halfway competitive and not running off the top of the track or bouncing through the tires all the time.
Realistic expectations for 2017 with your program. You've worked hard to upgrade your motor program, your car program during the offseason. What would you consider reasonable expectations for your team this year?
For my personal car, I'd like to be top five. I think I ended up ninth last year with sod, and I know I missed a show or two and had a few issues there at the end of the year, so I think a top five is realistic. that's kind of what I'm going into the year with, you know, hoping to be up there.
Well, Jay, appreciate your time having you on. We look forward to following along with your racing program over the course of the summer. You know, racing's not cheap. I want to take this opportunity to allow you to thank the sponsors that make racing possible for you.
Yeah, I got a few people that help me out and whatnot. I got Momentum Racing. He does all my suspension work for me. I got him build me a new shock right now, something different that I need for when I go down south. And the dirt's a little stickier down there. All-Star Performance, Joe Johnson and Eddie Smith down there. Anytime I need something, those guys, you know, they get right after and get it to me the next day. Gerber Collision, it's my employer. They also help me out as a sponsor. Midwest Signs makes me some stickers, keeps me going there whenever I wreck a wing like I did a couple weeks ago. I just make a call and he's got me some new stickers in a day or two. So Claxton Engine, Stripco Engineering, of course my wife, my Uncle Gary who's been going with me, my brother Tyler, those guys end up looking like pigs at the end of the night, but they're helping me out tremendously when they can go. So I really appreciate everybody's help.
All right, well, Jay, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight, and best of luck with the busy weekend of racing.
Thanks, guys.
Closing out this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast, Trevor, your biggest takeaway from this week?
I think it is the conversation we had with Jay talking about he's going to be running a little bit of everything this year. He's going to be running his car. He's going to be running a few races for Tracy Rice. It sounds like now that's not official, but but it sounds like there's optimism there that he's going to be running a few of those, and he's going to take the wing off and run with the Michigan Traditional Sprint. So he's going to be a busy man in 2017.
My takeaway is I finally am glad I had time to do one of these because it was starting to drive me nuts trying to fill all the time and all the effort. And I know all of you listening love these things and love hearing us and stuff. I felt bad that I had to kind of step away there for a little bit to actually take care of business, but kind of back in the groove now. And hopefully the weather plays nice and we get to go racing. The only weekend I had to go racing that's been nice so far, I ended up doing work stuff. So hopefully every weekend.
Next week we'll actually have results, local results to talk about.
Possibly that and maybe something besides 50-plus rainouts in one week would be would be nice. I want to thank Jay Steinbach for joining us this week. Of course, don't forget, if you have an opportunity, Trevor, we want to encourage our listeners to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and go ahead and leave us a rating or review.
Yeah, we do this for fun. I love talking sprint cars with TJ, and if you guys can interact with us, you know, that's just going to get us some recognition, maybe put us on some sort of chart somewhere.
Yeah, and Trevor, we actually get to see each other at the racetrack this week. Hopefully the weather, that'll be pretty awesome. Friday and Saturday, GLSS and SOD action here locally. So look forward to doing that. We'll probably have some interviews and stuff from those races as well to talk about as well. So on behalf of Trevor Hollis, everyone here at TJSlideways.com, thank you for listening to the podcast and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.